Our speaker this evening is our brother Marvin. I do know that he would ask an interest in your prayers and as well as your smiles. I ask that you give your kind attention and your prayers to our brother Marvin.
It's on again now. Evidently turned it off somehow. Thank you. Well, batteries get old and die from time to time. So does man. But anyway, on page 43, and I'll read here, on 7 and 8 here, and it came to pass that after I had received strength, I spake unto my brethren, desiring to know of them the cause of their disputation. And they said, Behold, we cannot understand the words which our father has spoken concerning the natural branches of the olive tree, and also concerning the Gentiles. And I said unto them, Have you inquired of the Lord? And they said unto me, We have not, for the Lord maketh no such thing known unto us. Behold, I said unto them, How is it that you do not keep the commandments of the Lord? And you know, we don't have the Spirit of the Lord sometimes when we're not keeping the commandments of the Lord. I know I had a bad time in the Bible, there in the 8th chapter, about verse 20. You know, Jesus is speaking there to him. And one of the disciples come to him and says, Let me first go home and bury my father. And Jesus, you know, it's one of his disciples, and Jesus says to him, Go preach the word of God and let the dead bury the dead. You know, that just threw me for a loop. Bury the dead. How is somebody dead going to get up out of the grave and go bury somebody that's dead? I couldn't understand it. I'm just like Laban and Lemuel. I couldn't understand it. They didn't have the Spirit there when Lehi was explaining to them about the olive tree and the Gentiles and the Jews and that. They couldn't understand it. Why? They didn't have the Spirit of the Lord. I didn't have the Spirit of the Lord either when I was reading that years ago. I wasn't in this church. It wasn't until I was baptized in this church that I received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And then I understood it. The Spirit of the Lord was with me. You know, we rub elbows every day when we go about the ways of the world. All the time we rub elbows with those that are spiritually dead. That's what the Lord was speaking of. Let those that are spiritually dead bury those that are dead. You go preach the kingdom of heaven. And so that's what he was talking about. But you know, I didn't know what it was. I couldn't understand it. I didn't know anybody that knew it. If you remember, I asked here a while back, last time I was preaching, I think, if somebody had a silver dollar they wanted to give to me. Well, there wasn't anybody here that could. Well, that's the way the churches of the world is. You can't give something if you don't have it. And they don't have the Holy Ghost, so they can't give it to nobody. They can go through the pretense of it, which they do, but they can't give it. And it wasn't until I was in this church and received it that I understood that passage in the Scripture. And you know, the Scriptures were opened up to me as I could read them and I could understand them. And I was very happy. I could remember what I read. Today I've got a wonderful memory of forgetting. I can't remember. I forget. So anyway, it's nice to have the Spirit of the Lord with the people. And that's the way it should be with us. When we have the Spirit of the Lord, he blesses us with his Holy Spirit as we call upon him for help and guidance. And you know, he helped me a whole lot. You know, I was having troubles one year with the irrigation pipe, 8-inch pipeline. Maybe I mentioned it. But anyway, it sprung a leak. It was running water all over the back of the yard and the garden and then the next neighbor and everything. So I went and shut the water off. Takes a little effort to turn that big old valve off that it has on the line. And so I come back and, you know, I didn't know what to do. I tried to fix it once and it's come to naught. So I took it to the Lord. And, you know, the Lord showed me, drew a picture in my mind just how to do it. So I went back and I dug out and drained the water all out of it and put it back together just as the Lord showed me in the vision that he gave to me. He showed me in my mind just exactly the way to do it. And that's the way I done it, and it worked just perfect. Haven't had any trouble with it, and that's been several years. When we follow the ways of the Lord, that's what happens. Things turn out good. And you know, Lehi was trying to explain to his two sons, which were hard-hearted and stiff-necked, not keeping the commandments of the Lord very well, and they couldn't understand it any more than I could understand what Christ was saying in the 8th chapter of Matthew there. Let the dead bury the dead. Well, that's spiritually dead, not physically dead. And you know, we rub elbows with them at all times. I'd like to continue on on page 44, verse 14. Beginning on verse 14. Behold, I say unto you that the house of Israel was compared unto an olive tree by the Spirit of the Lord, which was in our father. Behold, are we not broken off from the house of Israel? And are we not a branch of the house of Israel? Well, yes. You know, Lehi and Nephi, you know what tribe they are? They're the tribe of Joseph. Little Joseph that was blessed, that was sold into Egypt. And you know, the Lord worked with him and was with him. He was in prison more than once. But the Lord was with him, blessed him, and prospered him. And you know, he finally got out and he helped Pharaoh the king, and he became second in the kingdom. So he was blessed, and Lehi and family are the seed of Joseph, brought to this land. The land is given to them. Verse 16, and now the things which our father meaneth concerning the grafting in of the natural branches through the fullness of the Gentiles is that in the latter days, notice, is our time now that is speaking of, when our seed shall have dwindled in unbelief, yea, for the space of many years and many generations, after that the Messiah has manifest himself in body unto the children of men, then shall the fullness of the gospel of the Messiah come unto the Gentiles, and from the Gentiles unto the remnant of our seed. Now speaking, Nephi here speaking of many centuries down the line. In our time, he's referring to it, that the Messiah, you know, he died upon the cross, and then he was shown to the people there in his resurrection. And, you know, he was the first resurrection of the resurrection. And then all the others come after him. And so anyway, as he says here, that he will come to the Gentiles and the fullness of the gospel of the Messiah come to the Gentiles and from the Gentiles unto the remnant of our seed. And you know, he came unto us in 1830. That's when they come to the time of getting a Carter, the page to be legal, the legal works for the preaching and such not. That was the time they done it. As Whitmer says, the kingdom of God, the Holy Ghost, was with them far more in 29 up to the day of 1830, April the 6th, 1830, than ever the time after. Why was that? On April the 6th, 1830, Joseph Smith brought in the first error into the church. First error. Prophet, seer, and revelator, he said, I am. And so that was in violation of what the Lord told him. It says the only gift that would be given to him was the translating of the Holy Scriptures, or the Book of Mormon there that they had. And so we have to keep the commandments of God. Verse 17, and at that day shall the remnant of our seed know that they are the house of Israel, and that they are the covenant people of the Lord. And then shall they know that and come to the knowledge of their forefathers, and also the knowledge of the gospel of their Redeemer, which was manifested unto their fathers by him. Therefore they shall come to the knowledge of the Redeemer and the very points of his doctrine, and they may know how to come unto him and be saved. And you know, it's told very clearly here in the Book of Mormon, the doctrine of Christ, the fullness of the gospel. You know, it says later there in the Book of Mormon here, when Nephi tells some more, that, you know, the Bible was the Word of God when it come from the apostles, when they wrote the Scriptures. It was the holy and easy to read, easy to understand. But you know, that great and abominable church took out some things out of it and altered some things. How much they've taken out, I don't know. But you know, some of the things, such as our sacrament, they have removed out of the Bible altogether. Didn't tell there how it's done in the Bible, as well as other things, baptism as well. But does tell here in the Book of Mormon exactly the words that are said and the baptism as well. I enjoy reading the Book of Mormon myself. It's in a story that kind of goes along with my thinking, that it's easier to read. Bible's a little harder to read for me. It's old English. But, you know, still it's the Word of God. And when the Spirit of the Lord has shown me that the Bible, the Book of Mormon, is true. Even though there's some things taken out of the Bible and some things altered, it is still the Word of God, like the Book of Mormon. They're the Word of God. And so I'll continue on here on page 45. And I'll start on 26 here. And he meaneth that it will not come to pass until after they are scattered by the Gentiles. Now, scattered, who is to be scattered? It's the house of Israel. The Native Americans is referred to. Think of all the war that there was in this country to begin with the Indians. You know, the great battle they had at the Rosebud in Montana, you know, when the Indians wiped out one of the companies of the American troops there at that battle. And, you know, the Indians took out and went into Canada, and the United States Army followed them to the border, but that was it. But anyway, there's been a lot of war among the Indians. Why? Because they had gone heathen. That's why they had rejected their Lord and their Savior and not followed him anymore. You know, if you go back into the Book of Mormon later, that the Lamanites overcome the Nephites, as you all know. But, you know, here Nephi and Lehi, they've seen it. Nephi is explaining it to his brothers, which is kind of hard-hearted and stiff-necked, and they don't look to the Lord as they should. So if we want the Spirit of the Lord to be with us, we have to keep the commandments of God. So what about me? Well, I've been ministered to a couple of times from my eyes. Have I had any help? Well, not that I know of. And why? Apparently, I'm not keeping the commandments of the Lord as I should, or he'd heal my eyes if I was keeping them as he would like, and I'd be able to see properly in that. So I need to repent of my evil ways and keep his commandments. Verse 28. Wherefore, our Father has not spoken of our seed only, also of the house of Israel, pointing to the covenant which should be fulfilled in the latter day. That's in our day today, but still some of it's to be fulfilled. But some of it has already been fulfilled. Which covenant the Lord made to our father Abraham, saying, in thy seed shall all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. Do we know what that is? I think everybody does. You know, who is it we're going to be blessed through? Well, it's the seed of Abraham. Who come through the seed of Abraham? King David come down through there. You know, if we work and look in Matthew, we'll find out that Christ also come down through the seed of Abraham as well. And it's through Jesus Christ that we're blessed. And so it is Jesus Christ that he's speaking of here, that all the kindreds of the earth be blessed. And it come to pass that I, Nephi, spake much unto them concerning these things. And I spake unto them concerning the restoration of the Jews in the latter days. And I did rehearse unto them the words of Isaiah, which spake concerning the restoration of the Jews, or of the house of Israel. And you know it speaks in Isaiah, in different chapters, 11th chapter, the 54th chapter, and such and all, it speaks there of the restoration of the house of Israel. You know, they're going to build a new Jerusalem. And, you know, the Gentiles will be helpers, but it'll be the house of Israel that'll have the control and the say of it. They're the ones that are the blessed. But you know, we're blessed too. Just think how this country has been blessed. How we've fought the Indians, you know, as I said here, that they would be scattered by the Gentiles, and they have been scattered. They're on reservation after reservation. I don't know how many reservations that the Indians are in this country, but you know, they're kind of scattered throughout the Gentiles now as well. Verse 30, and it come to pass that I, Nephi, spake much unto them concerning these things. And I spake unto them concerning the restoration of the Jews in the latter days. And I did rehearse unto them the words of Isaiah, which spake concerning the restoration of the Jews, or of the house of Israel. And after that they were restored, they should be made, be more confident. They should no more be confounded, neither should they be scattered again. And you know, that's yet ahead of us, somewhere ahead of us. You know, the Lord says that the Arabs are going to invade this country. War's coming. When? I don't know, but it's a coming. It's been a number of years now. But they're going to attack this country. You know, this country has become rather evil, not righteous like it was at one time, but very evil. It's just all over the news and such, not the evilness of it. How they hate the Constitution of this country. They hate Christianity. Christians are disfavored in their eyes. They're evil, the Christians are. But it's just the opposite of that. The Christians are the more righteous. Anyway, verse 33, and after they were restored, they should no more be confounded, neither should they be scattered again. And it come to pass that I did speak many words unto my brothers, and they were pacified, and did humble themselves before the Lord. And you know, that's what we all to do, is humble ourselves. But you know, it's a turnaround situation with them. They did humble themselves here, as Nephi said, but then they grew hard-hearted in their hearts again, and they even tried to do away with Nephi and throw him into the sea more than once. So anyway, we must humble ourselves and keep the commandments of God. And you know, it says, you know, the gospel was restored to the Gentiles. And you know, the war of 1812, you remember that? How we had war with England, one of the great naval powers, the greatest there was. We took to them because they were kidnapping our men in the ships and putting them to work in the ships. And, you know, we got tired of it and finally went to war with them, and we beat them. You know, there was not only war with England, did we have to fight them on the land, but on the sea. We had to fight the French as well here on the land, the Spaniards here on the land as well. It's just one nation after nation. We had to fight them, and you know, the Lord was with us and blessed us and prospered us. We won in all of them. And so the gospel was restored in 1830 in that time, and it was, goes on. But you know, after a while, Satan was busy. I sure would not have wanted to been in Joseph Smith's shoes at all. Satan worked on him like you couldn't believe, the poor fella. Blindsided him and led him astray. That's what he does on everybody, even me. So anyway, you know, the church kind of broke up back then. And so Joseph Smith was destroyed and put to death in jail. And after, right after that, the 12 kind of argued among themselves who was going to be the leader. You know, some of them went to Texas, some of them went to California, some of them went to Illinois, and some of them went to Utah. Some went elsewhere. They just split up and went, and that's the way the church was. We pretty much stayed there in Illinois. But you know, the Lord has stayed with this church. It's the only church the Lord recognizes, as the Lord, Spirit of the Lord has told me. The only church in the world that he recognizes or he works with. I was in other churches, but you know, I never received the Spirit of the Lord. I never received a vision. I never received a dream. I never received any admonition from the Lord or any of that while I was in these other churches. And I didn't read, I didn't hear anybody else ever receiving dreams or vision in these other churches. Why? They don't have the Spirit of the Lord with them. They're not his church. As the scripture says on page 40 here, there's only two churches. The authors it's speaking of now, only two churches. Yeah, there's thousands of churches in the world, thousands of them. How many, I don't know, I've lost count. But just two, as the Lord says, Church of the Lamb and Church of the Devil, author. Satan is the author of those others. And so there's only two. Yes, sometimes I've been told by more than one in the Baptist church, they have what they call the slaying of the Spirit. That's where the Spirit kind of slays them over and they lay over and fall. Well, Satan, not dumb, he tries to make everybody think that that's the correct church and that's such and all. He would blindside everybody he could and blind them. But you know, he's put here for a reason, to see if you will be faithful to the Lord all your days, or if you'll turn away from him and leave him somewhere along the line, like so many people do. I've seen people come and go. So has my brothers and sisters. So, but we got to be faithful to the Lord and keep his commandments. As I said, this war that's a coming, the Lord says, keep my commandments and all will be well with you. This is not your fight, the Lord says. It is my fight, not yours. Keep my commandments and all will be well with you. That's what we are to do, is keep his commandments. I'd like to go 6:2 and read here a little bit. And I want to read on verse 87 and read a few verses. And behold, this is the thing, now this is Jesus speaking here. This is the thing which I will give unto you for a sign, for verily I say unto you, that when these things which I declare unto you, and which I shall declare unto you hereafter of myself, and by the power of the Holy Ghost, he's speaking to here the Nephites as he's appeared to them and telling them what's going to happen. The Holy Ghost, which shall be given unto you of the Father, shall be made known unto the Gentiles. Well, we receive the gift of the Holy Ghost in this church. But they, that's a Gentile, may know concerning this people, which are a remnant of the house of Jacob. Now, this is speaking of the Native Americans, or basically speaking of Joseph, but you know, it wasn't just little Joseph and his seed that come here like Lehi and Nephi. It was also some of the Mulek, the son of Jacob, son of Zedekiah, excuse me. He come here, and so that was Judah that was here as well, and some others no doubt was here besides the two tribes. So it's more than just one tribe of the descendants of Joseph. It'd be also the Jacob descendants, which would be Judah, and who else I don't know. Verily, verily, I say unto you, when these things shall be made known unto them of the Father, now them is the house of Israel, and shall come forth of the Father from them unto you, for it is wisdom in the Father that they should be established in this land. They, is the speaking of the Gentiles, should be established, and we were, everybody knows, we've already been a blessed nation. You know, hunger has been a thing of the past, really. Although some people are hungry, I don't doubt, here and there, still they're not keeping the commandments of the Lord as they should. As my brother mentioned, that in the service, you know, that King David never knew of anybody that was of a Christian and kept the commandments that went hungry. It was always fed. And be set up as a free people by the power of the Father, and these things come forth from them unto a remnant of your seed, that the covenant of the Father may be fulfilled, which he has covenant with this his people, or house of Israel. And so the gospel is restored here unto the Gentiles to become a free people. And you know, it goes on. And you know, the gospel was first, as it speaks of, you know, was first given to the Gentile, to the Jews, then to the Gentiles. And from the Gentiles, it goes back to the Jews. Well, it's in the Jews' time now. But it started with the Jews of old, say about 1500 B.C., that the gospel was restored to the Jews, you know, as they were led out of Egypt. And so the gospel was restored unto them, and it stayed with them until the crucifixion of Christ. That's when it left the Jews and went to the Gentile. Now, it didn't mean any time that the Jews couldn't come into the house of Israel and be baptized, didn't it? Nor does it mean that the Jews can't come into the Gentiles and receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. They can. All they have to do is humble themselves and come to the Lord. And so that is the way it is. Now, the gospel has left the Gentiles in 1829-30, come to them, left the Gentiles 1967. What happened? What month was that? It was June the 6th. What happened? Israel and Egypt, Syria, Jordan, all went to war. The Arabs were going to wipe the Jews off the map. That's what they had in their mind. They were going to attack Israel and take them out. And they would have. But you know, the Lord's with them. And so the Israelites knew that the Arabs were going to attack them in force. And so they preempted the strike upon the Arabs. And you know, they took out Egypt first. There, they went in and preempt and destroyed all of their air force, as well as they took the Sinai away from them as well. They were ready and they went to the war. They took Arab and they took the west part of Jerusalem away from Jordan. And Syria wouldn't give up. You know, they sit there on the Golden Heights, a little higher than Israel, and they could shell into Israel pretty easy. So Israel attacked the Golden Heights, and they took the Golden Heights away from Israel. Now the war with Egypt and Jordan and Israel lasted one day. Well, let's say 2 days. Started on the 6th. And ended on the 7th between them. The war ended. It started with Israel, with Syria for another 10 days while Israel was capturing all of the Golden Heights. And so they captured it. They still own it today. They have given part of the Sinai back to the Israelites or the Egyptians to try to restore peace. But you know, there has been nothing but war there in Israel since their foundation back about 48, 47, somewhere right there. They become a nation. And so they've had wars in the 50s and again in the 60s. They had war. They had another war in 82. Israel, I should say, only in 82. I watched the video on that war of 82 that they had. You know, it really wasn't much of a war, but Israel bombed Iraq nuclear radiation station, if you remember. The United States had sold Israel six fighter planes, F-16s, six of them. And so Israel was ready. They readied three of them, put bombs on them. They took everything off of them that they didn't need. It doesn't mean that they didn't have armament on them to defend themselves. They could, but they put a bomb under each wing, and you know, they had flied them around, and the pilots knew their plane real good. And so they got ready to take off, and you know, they done a no-no, the Israelites done, but they done it anyway, and they got by with it okay. They come up and they fueled the jets up while they was in full running mode. You know, wouldn't take but just a spark and all that high octane gas would go boom. And everything would go boom. But anyway, nothing happened. They got them, all three of them, loaded up full of gas just as much as they could, and off they went. They had one chase plane that followed them for a little ways, and it showed the plane going. You know, they were going 500 miles an hour. How high were they? It said they flew 100 feet above the ground. 100 feet, and there they are, moving at 500 miles an hour. You know, they had to be super pilots so they wouldn't clip a top of a tree as they flew by. But you know, they had radar, but they couldn't use radar either because that notified the enemy that Israel was in their ground. And so the Arabs knew nothing about the three planes that were coming in 500 miles an hour headed for Iraq to their nuclear power plant to bomb it. As I say, each plane had two bombs on there. What size the bombs were, I don't know, but I would guess probably 500 pounds apiece, but again, I don't know. But anyway, when they got to the power plant to bomb it, they come up to 1,000 feet elevation so that the explosions from the bombs wouldn't damage them and destroy them. And so all the bombs hit good. One didn't go off. One was a dud. So they destroyed the power plant. Now, I've read pros and cons about that power plant they had that they destroyed, that they couldn't make nuclear material from it. And another report says, yes, they sure could. All they had to do is go to it and change a little bit. Now, the power plant was put in there by the people from France. They're the ones that built the plant for them and put it in there. So that happened on June the 6th of June, 82. Notice, in June. There was one other time in June that was quite notable. It was for the United States this time. You know, that was the War of Midway. You know, it turned to war. And it was, you know, Japan was attacking us at Midway. They attacked us at Pearl Harbor. They had some more aircraft carriers. They had a great Navy, far out gun hours, all of them. But, you know, they thought they would take Midway out. And then we wouldn't have a Midway stationed there for to help our ships line up or fuel up or load up with ammunition or whatever. Anyway, we finally destroyed four of the capital aircraft carrier ships. Four of them we sank on that. We lost one. But that happened on June the 5th and 6th of 42. All in June. That's kind of amazing to me that all of these, you know, the Six-Day War and the 82 War and 67 and 42 all happened about the 5th or 6th of June. Like it's a kind of a magical number. But anyway, the Lord has been with Israel and has blessed them. You know, as it says, they are a blessed people. They're going to call them back, and they're going to come into this country. They're going to build a new Jerusalem when it will be. And I would turn back to page, 646 I want to go to here. 646. And verse 34 here. Thus commanded the Father that I should say unto you, and that at that day when the Gentiles shall sin against my gospel and shall reject the fullness of my gospel and shall be lifted up in the pride of their hearts above all nations and above all the people of the whole earth, and shall be filled with all manner of lying and of deceit and of mischief and all manner of hypocrisy and murders and preachcraft and whoredoms and of secret abominations. That's what I said a while ago. This country has become very evil. Here Jesus is speaking of this country that it would become that way. And then, you know, as I said, war is coming. When, I don't know. But it's going to remove the evil that's in this country. This country is very evil. Verse 35, and if they shall do all these things and shall reject the fullness of my gospel, behold, saith the Father, I will bring the fullness of my gospel from among them. Well, that's what he done. You know, we don't have the fullness of the gospel. The Gentiles, the house of Israel has it right now. Has they come in a big way? No, but you know, down in Mexico, they've got quite a following of people down there. But still, the natives, as we want to refer to them, the Native Americans of Canada and America and Mexico, the big crop of them yet, have not really turned to the Lord. As the Lord has told me, they will not come into the gospel until sometime after this war is over with. The evil is gone. And then they will come into it. Verse 37, and I will shew unto thee, O house of Israel, that the Gentiles shall not have power over you, but I will remember the covenant unto you, O house of Israel, and you shall come unto the knowledge of the fullness of my gospel. But if the Gentiles will repent and return unto me, saith the Father, behold, they shall be numbered among my people, the house of Israel. And I will not suffer my people, which are the house of Israel, to go through among them and tread them down, saith the Father. But if they will not turn unto me and hearken unto my voice, I will suffer them. Yea, I will suffer my people, O house of Israel, that they shall go through among them and shall tread them down, and they shall be as salt that has lost its savor, which is henceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of my people, O house of Israel. So this is what's going to happen to the Gentiles, you know, this war that's a coming. They're going to be trodden down, the Gentiles. You know, the Gentiles as a whole today have rejected the fullness or the Book of Mormon, really. Part of it, you know, they look at our cousins across the road, my cousins, I'm speaking of the LDS, and they see the evil that they do, and so they think everybody that believes the Book of Mormon believes in polygamy and baptism for the dead and all of that nonsense. But that's not so, and you know, they turn people away from it. Yes, they have gone among a lot of the natives there in Utah, and they have converted a lot of them to their belief. But they'll come out of that by and by after the Lord, after this war is over. As it says, they'll come into the kingdom to be there. So I'd like to go to page 665 here and read a little bit. 665. And I'd like to read verse 11 here. This is also in Isaiah, the 54th chapter. Verse 11. For thou shalt break forth on the right hand and on the left, thy seed shall inherit the Gentiles, and make the desolate cities to be inhabited. Now, I was speaking of the house of Israel that I just read. They'll come in and they will tread the Gentiles down that don't believe in the Lord at all. You know, we really have a lot of people that disbelieve. You know, the main headquarters is up in Wisconsin of those that don't believe in the Lord at all or have anything to do with them. But you know, they're making headway with the schools and the county super boards and such and all as that by threatening them to bring a lawsuit against them if they don't quit praying to the Lord. And you know, a lot of these schools have dropped out that they don't say prayers anymore at all because they don't want to have to fight a lawsuit that costs $100,000 or $200,000. They don't have that kind of money, so they just drop it by. And so the atheists are making headway in this country. And so, as I just read, you know, the evil that is among us, the hardness of heart, stiff neck in them, they're going to go by the wayside, and the Gentiles are going to inhabit the cities of the Gentiles. And, you know, it says that they will destroy our chariots. So how are we going to get around? I don't know. Maybe the Mennonites will have it up on us because, you know, they have their carts driven by a horses and a team. We don't. But, you know, I was back in Missouri. They were south of somewhere. And the Mennonites back there and the Amish, there's a big crowd of them back there. You see them running up and down the highways in their carts, being pulled by a team of horses. And there they are. And supposedly their houses has no electricity in them either. If they buy a house that has electricity, a cable, electric cables in it, they pull it out. Now, I don't know that all of them do it, but some of them sure do. And so they don't go the modern way. But their young people are turning away from them, some of them, into the ways of the world. So anyway, we got to humble ourselves. We got to keep the commands of the Lord, and all will be well with us. Thank you.